Morning. Sorry. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 4. Psalm chapter 4. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O sons of men, how long will my honor become a reproach? How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Many are saying, who will show us any good? Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart, more than when the grain and new wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for just another week, God, and another day where we can come to your house and to be in your presence, Father. God, I pray that this morning, Lord, as we pray, as we worship together, as we just come together as a body, Father, that you speak, God, and you convict our hearts, Lord. And Father, just speak through me, and we're just so grateful, Lord, for your word, God. May your word come alive for us today. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. So I've been going through Psalms lately. Every time I go through it and really spend the time to dwell on the word, it really pops out, and there's so much truth and wisdom, and then so much emotion, whether the psalmist is happy, whether they're joyful. There's also a lot of what the world may deem as negative emotion. There's a lot of angst. There's a lot of just crying out to the Lord, asking the Lord, you know, what is going on in my life? Why is this happening? And recently I saw read an article where the Bono from U2. He was talking about worship songs and how a lot of them are pretty generic. And as a member of the worship team, I know that a lot of the worship songs that we sing are they're not necessarily bad, but the way they go about putting the songs together, it's really, really simple. They use the same four chords and they vary up the chord, the order of the chords. But basically, Bono is saying, you know, worship songs these days have become very just sterile and just very plain. And he goes back to the Psalms and he says, look at the Psalms. There's so much emotion. The psalmists aren't afraid to express their emotion. And like they're just real and raw. And there are times where I read the Psalm and I think to myself, you know, is this okay? Is it okay to talk to God in this manner? Because there's so much. At times, he's like, God, why is this happening? To the point where I'm reading, like, I think he's cursing out God, or he's calling him out. But at the end of the day, I realize the psalmist is just really expressing what's on his heart. He's being truthful with God, and he isn't holding anything back. And he's not calling out God, like, Lord, you're not doing anything for me. You know, you're worthless. But he's really just laying out his heart and giving all that angst and all that emotion and even in his joyfulness, the blessings that he's received, he's giving it back up to the Lord and saying, this is all for you. This is, you know, I understand that you're in charge. And yeah, I think that's just, that's what God has been speaking to me lately as I've been going through the Psalms, that you know, there's just so much beauty in this. So I went through Psalm 4 about maybe like 2-3 weeks ago, and this really spoke to me because in the process of deciding or in the process of working out my decision to enter ministry and, you know, just going through that decision-making process, I think this really spoke to me. Not in that it gave me any... I didn't come to any decision through reading this psalm, but it gave me a lot of peace, and it really revealed things in my heart that I had to deal with before I could come to a final decision about making that decision or to enter ministry. And you know, the thing I would always pray when I would think about, or I pray about when I think about going to ministry, was just verse 1, "Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." Now, I wasn't in distress about this decision to go into ministry, but it was really just, "Lord, you know, hear my prayer and you know, hear my cry to you. I submit this whole thing to you." And as I read through this psalm, I realized more and more, like, God was really trying to work in my heart about letting go of certain things that I thought I needed to have in order to have a comfortable life, in order to have a life that would, to have a blessed life. And I really felt that God was saying to me, you know, "Andrew, are you looking for a comfortable life? Are you looking for a blessed life? Or are you looking for a life that is lived in abundance according to my will?" And when he said that, I was like, "Oh man, I mean, that's so true." Because I mean, I work at church, so, or how should I put this? I realize more in my heart that as I work at church, I realize that there's so many things of this world that I continue to hold on to, even though at the same time, I'm working through my head, like I really have to let these things go. And like one of the things that let's look at verse 2. The second part of verse 2 says, "How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception?" And one of the struggles I had with while I was going through this process of deciding whether to go into ministry was this idea of, okay, well, if this doesn't work out, if I'm not meant to be a pastor, or if I completely suck and, you know, I end up going back into the marketplace, I mean, the whole idea of what if I don't do well and I have to leave, I mean, that's a completely different issue that I'm not going to talk about now. But the thing I was thinking about, well, what if I have to go back out into the marketplace? And, you know, I've been working at SP for almost a year now, and say I'm not saying I'm doing this, but if I were to leave SP in another 2 years, I would have been working at SP for 3 years. That's 3 years of career building that I would have missed out on. And that was one thing that I struggled so much with. And like, "Lord, what if this doesn't work out at the end of the day? You know, what if I suck as a pastor? Or what if, you know, I heard wrong and I wasn't called to the ministry and, you know, I made a mistake?" These 3 years I would have wasted. I could have been building my career. I could have been accomplishing all these things. I could have been putting so many different things on my resume. And I got back to thinking about when I was leaving my previous job, I had so much favor, and I had basically a blank check to do whatever I wanted to do. Now, granted, I wasn't, you know, really high up, but all my superiors and supervisors, they were supporting me and saying, "Whatever you want to do, we'll support you." And you know, I look back to them like, man, I'm going to have to start building all that again. I'm going to have to start building all those relationships. And it was when I got to verse 5, it says, "Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord." That I got to thinking, this thing in my heart where I can't let go of, that I have to build my career again. I thought that, you know, God was asking me to offer that to him as well. You know, when I think about offering sacrifices, I just automatically go back to the priests, you know, with Aaron and, you know, in the time of David, they would come before the Lord and just give the things that they have. And I began to think about this from a different angle. You know, when they came before the Lord to offer sacrifices, they also purify themselves. They purify, you know, they cleanse themselves of all sin because sin cannot be in the presence of the Lord. So I read this and I was thinking, okay, well, I want to offer my life. You know, I want to be righteous before the Lord and give him, you know, it's not really a sacrifice. I want to give him all that I have because there's something so much better down the line. So, but in order to come before him, I have to purify myself of sin. And I felt like at that time, God was really saying, you know, Andrew, you have this, you're holding so tightly onto this thing of, you know, what happens if this doesn't work out? And really, he was saying, you know, let go of this need to make sure that you're comfortable, to make sure that you're provided for, to take care of yourself. Let go of this before you can come to me to offer these sacrifices. And when it was at that point when I said, okay, that made sense. And I started trying to let go of it and saying, Lord, you know, I still need your help in doing this. That a lot of the fear about entering into ministry went away. It was when I decided, okay, well, you know, like part of my story, when I came to Hong Kong, I actually had no job. And previously I had spent 7 years in an industry that was, you know, not a lot of transferable skills would have come out of, or at least I thought. And yet, despite that, I managed to get a job that I had absolutely no qualifications for. And, you know, as I was going through this whole entire, through this process, you know, God brought that up again. Like, Andrew, do you not trust me? You're thinking, oh, you spent 3 years at church, and if it doesn't work out, you got to start building your career again. But look at what happened in the past. You spent 7 years in a completely different industry where, you know, you think you have no transferable skills, and you moved to a completely different country where people don't really know you, you don't have those relationships. You spent 7 years doing that, and now I got you to this job. Do you not think that I can do it again? Do you doubt me that much? And, you know, right then and there, I was like, oh, crap. Sorry, God. And yeah, a lot of that fear about entering into ministry or not even, or just, you know, about being able to provide for my family, you know, if we have more than a kid later down the line, and with, you know, property prices in Hong Kong so high and space so limited, and like, oh, what am I going to do? Am I going to have to move to Canada so that I can afford something? Or, you know, all these things came to me. And when God was speaking, that just went away. See, I realized that his, more than the things that he gives me, more than, you know, blessings or the favor or large bonuses or a big place to live, more than all of those things, what really makes my life go, what really allows me to continue living, is just being with him in his presence. And I highlighted verse 7 in my Bible here. It goes, "You have put gladness in my heart more than when their new grain and new wine abound." So for the psalmist, gladness, his gladness is, or the new grain and the new wine that he has is overshadowed by the gladness given by the Lord. So when I read that, I took it to mean that the blessings of God, or joy in our hearts, gladness, how, you know, if we're happy, or I guess happy is not the right word, but you know, joy in our hearts doesn't come from the blessings of the Lord, whether it's new grain or new wine or, you know, good things that happen to us, doesn't just come, the gladness that, what am I trying to say? Yeah, the joy that we have in our life doesn't come from the blessings, or doesn't come just from His favor. It comes from His presence. Let's see. See, I looked up in verse 6, at the latter half, it goes, "Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord." And I always had, I didn't really understand what countenance means. I just had some faint idea. So I actually looked it up as I was preparing before it came up. So the definition of countenance, there are two definitions. One is your face or facial expression, and the second is approval. So, it makes sense that when God lifts up His countenance upon us, when we have His approval, that's when we have His joy. And that's... Sorry, just give me a sec here. Yeah, okay. So when He lifts up His countenance upon us, that's when He looks upon us. His face is upon us and He approves of us. And that's when we have His joy. That's when we know and we are secure in our lives. Whether or not we have blessing, whether or not we have His favor, that is so much more important to be in His approval. And that's why, you know, when Jesus was on the cross, that's why it was so tough for Him. Not only was it just the pain of being on the cross, the pain of being crucified, but it was a pain of not having the Father's face looking at Him. Because He goes, "Why have you forsaken me?" It was because the weight of all of the sin of humankind was upon Jesus at that moment, and God could not look upon it because God cannot be in the presence of sin, so He turned away. So that approval was removed from Jesus, and that's, you know, part of that pain of the crucifixion. And I realized throughout the process of going into ministry, like, you know, it's not, I mean, I said this before, but it's not that blessing. It's not, oh, you know, what if it doesn't work out? But it's about being in His presence. It's about being with God and knowing that I have His approval. So even if this doesn't work out, and, you know, that's a big if, and I have to keep telling myself that, you know, Andrew, you have all these things that, all these fears that you have, and you're afraid, you know, you're not a good speaker, and, you know, you're bombing the CMP, or, you know, I've been asked to lead worship, and I suck at singing, you know, all these things, it doesn't matter, because I have His approval, and as long as I remain in His presence, you know, whether or not I have blessing, or whether or not I can lead worship, you know, that doesn't matter. You know, these are things, these fears are, you know, things that I have to let go of in order to come before the Lord to sacrifice what I have and to give what I have. So, yeah, let's close your eyes. I'll spare you guys. And as Aaron comes up to lead worship, as we worship, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him, "Father, is there anything in our hearts that You are asking us to let go of? Is there anything that is displeasing in Your sight?" And if there is, really just give it up to the Lord. And then don't be afraid to really show your heart to God. You don't need to mince your words. You don't need to hide yourself and say, "Oh, I can't say these things because, you know, it's offensive." You know, if there is pain in your heart, really lift it up to Him. Be like the Psalms. Because at the end of the day, there's no point in hiding your emotions from God, since He already knows. So really, you're just fooling yourself. So be real with Him and say, "Lord, you know, there are things that in my heart, in my life, that I can't let go of, and I can't move on from, but I really want to. I need You, Lord, to help me do this." And as He works in your heart, know that He is working, and that He will take these things that you are offering to Him, and that you will come before Him to give sacrifices.
Breathing in life.
Yes, Jesus, we love you, and we thank you so much, God, for always wanting to just be with us, always wanting to look upon us. So, God, I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord. I pray that we just go after the things that please you, God, and letting go of things that are displeasing to you, God. Let's turn to our Wednesday morning prayer, community prayer. Let's pray for those who have cancer and are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy. Let's pray for God's healing hand to be upon them. Let's pray for those who are sick, but also need to hear the word of the Lord. Let's pray for open hearts and just for the family members to have perseverance and to continue to pray for the brothers and sisters who are sick. Let's pray for those in our community who have various infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing hand upon them as well. And for perseverance for them and the hope that God has healed them already. Let's pray for those in our communities who are looking for jobs. Let's pray that God opens up doors, gives them wisdom and discernment as they go out for interviews and make decisions about jobs that are on the table for them. Let's pray for the Hong Kong government, or let's pray for Hong Kong, the city of Hong Kong. Let's pray for the government, the wealth gap. Let's pray for revival in the city, revival among the churches, and also the various ministries and organizations that partner with Sports Service International, Shanti, Master's Beauty, Sons and Daughters, CSW, Hong Kong Korean Church, and also the Hong Kong students as they undergo tremendous amounts of stress as they study. And the pressure that they have to get into good schools. So let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the staff. P-Sam, P-Nate, P-Salamat, P-Ricky, Ken, P-Mary, Tim, Monica, Ash, Yiling, Janella, Rachel, and Ben. Let's pray that all of us strive for excellence in what we do, whether it be in ministry or running admin for the church. Pray that God really works through us and that we don't just count on our own strength to do the things that God has placed before us. Let's pray for the worship sound and AV team. Let's pray for a heart of worship for them and striving for excellence and really have that heart to lead God's people into worship every Sunday, week in and week out. Let's pray for the hospitality ministries, the welcoming barista. Let's pray for a heart of joy, love, and the people coming into our house, just experience the friendliness and the warmth that God has given to us. And let's pray for the house churches tonight. Fontana, Hopewell, Calhoun Garden, OPR, Soho, Westville. Let's pray for God's presence tonight as they meet and as they fellowship. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word, God. And I just pray, Lord, that you continue to work in our hearts and continue to speak to us, God, as we read your word, Father. May we not take your word and just say that I've done my reading for the day, but really make it come alive and want us to thirst more, desire more of you, God, more of your word, Father. So, God, I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord, as they go off to their day, as they go off to the work, Lord. May you look upon them. May you lift up your countenance upon them. May you shine upon them and just approve of them, Father. So we thank you, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. So thank you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you tomorrow.